Morning. Today's daf from Bava Basra is Nun Gimel. We start today on Nun Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, a little more than halfway down the on the Gemara, but Medvar Mamorim. We are to the next part of the Mishnah. Okay. This has been a large part of the third parak of Bava Basra. The third parak to begin with is already large. 30 blad of Gemara. The Mishnah takes us all the way back to Mem Beis. So we are now in daf Nun Gimel today. That's over a week and a half ago in terms of Daf Yomi language. The Mishnah talked about those people who cannot make a chazakah. And then the Mishnah concludes by saying, Bamedvar Mamorim. It's the last three lines of the Mishnah, Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So I'm just reading from the Mishnah itself. When is this true? Bemachzik. That's true when it comes to a person trying to make a chazakah. Vabinose matana. But if it's a gift, Achin Shechalko, if brothers are dividing a state, Vamachzik benichse agir. Or if you're trying to acquire property that has no owner to it, so now so just doing a proprietary act, which we're going to be detailing today, exactly what that is—a proprietary act. As long as you do it, so then you're going to make an acquisition. That is the shift in the Mishnah, the pivot in the Mishnah, going from Cheskas Gimel Shanim to what we would refer to as a chazaka. When I say we, I mean that the Mishnah Kedushin tells us that there are three ways to be kona land, to acquire land. So one is Kesef. The second is Shtar, and the third way is Chazaka. Chazaka in this context means a proprietary act. By doing a proprietary act, you are now going to acquire the land. That is not what has been discussed in the third parak of Bava Basra. We've been discussing up until now the idea of acquiring a land through occupation, through occupancy. You're sitting on the land for 3 years. You have a taina, you have a claim because there's no you have no documentation, and you have a claim that you bought the land. And now it's just a question of whether or not you're in fact the de facto owner. That's what we've been discussing up until now. And then the Mishnah pivots, and now in the Gemara, as we're now on this point of the Mishnah, we are also going to pivot as well. We are now moving into the discussion of Chazaka, not as an occupancy, but as a proprietary act, establishing my ownership of a property. By Medvar Mamorim, so let's pick it up right now in the Gemara. When is this true? B'machzik v'amenosim atan v'achin shechalku atokol hani ha'omrim la'av b'nei chazakininu. The Gemara says, I don't understand. With the Mishnah is pivoting. That part I certainly understand. But we're talking about gifting. We're talking about dividing an estate. We're talking about acquiring nichse hager, ownerless property. What do you mean? If I'm just making a simple transaction between one person and another, so a proprietary act doesn't work, of course the proprietary act is going to work. So Chazur Mechzer V'Achi Ketani, so the Gemara says, you're right. That point, of course, is very well taken. And there's a little bit missing in the Mishnah. Either it's physically missing from the Mishnah, or this is how the Mishnah is to be understood. Either way, b'medvar mamorim, when is this true? B'chazaka sheishim otayna. When we're doing a chazaka with a claim. Meaning, there are two types of chazaka. Like I said in the beginning of the parak, now upwards of 2 weeks ago, more than 2 weeks ago. So the 3 weeks ago. So like we said in the beginning of the parak, there are two types of chazaka. One as a form of acquisition through occupancy, and the other is an acquisition through a proprietary act. So chazaka shiyesh imo taina means chazaka through occupancy, meaning I'm going to claim after having lived here for 3 years and it was unchallenged, I'm going to claim that I bought the property from you. That's a chazaka shiyesh imo taina. Kagon mocher amar lo macharti. The original seller said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never sold it. V'lokecha. And the buyer says, what do you mean? I bought it from you. But I bought it from you. And he has a taina, and he has occupancy of 3 years, and the original owner never made a machal. So in that circumstance, that's what we've been talking now since the beginning of the parak. Aval, but here's the pivot. Chazaka sheini motaina, when it's a chazaka that doesn't have a claim with it. What does that mean, a chazaka that doesn't have a claim? That doesn't have a claim, that meaning doesn't need a claim. Because this proprietary act is the means in which I'm actually acquiring it. You're right here. I'm right here, and I want to acquire it. How do I acquire it? Either kesef, shtar, uvechazaka, or I'm going to do a proprietary act. Kagon. No, say matan v'achin shechalka v'amachzik b'nechse ager. And the Mishnah now is just giving simple examples of where this is a kinyan. I'm giving a gift. If I'm giving a gift, there's no acquiring through occupancy, meaning I'm giving you the gift. Or if we're dividing a state. If we're dividing an estate, in other words, I'm here, you're here, we're brothers. This is the estate that we're dividing. Clearly, we are looking now to create a acquisition. Or a machzik b'nechse ager. Or another simple example, where I'm acquiring property that's ownerless. It was owned by a convert. He didn't have children. He died. We know that he has halachically no family. And since halachically he has no family, so any kol amakdim, anyone who gets there first is gonna acquire it. So over here, again, we're not talking about acquiring through occupancy. We're talking about acquiring it through doing a proprietary act. So when I'm, it's there just for the purposes of kinyan. So under these circumstances, now God departs kol shu'ra raise a chazaka. So if I do any type of proprietary act, which is either making a, locking the door, making a fence, opening the fence, and again, we're going to be specific about all these examples, three of these examples. So this is all going to be constituting a chazaka, an acquisition through a proprietary act. Okay, so basically now we have pivoted. Now we have turned our entire discussion of the Gemara, not of Chazaka Gimel Shanim, but Chazaka in terms of a proprietary act. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah is talking in broad strokes about a Chazaka She'eni Mataima, Taina. There is a Chazaka without a claim, a Chazaka without a claim because you don't need a claim, because this is not occupation, this is acquisition. And the Mishnah is just simply giving examples of things that are clearly meant as for purposes of acquisition. Okay, Tani Rav Oshia b'Kedushin deBei Levi. Rav Oshia taught in the Kedushin of deBei Levi. It's an interesting expression. Take a look at the Rashbam. It's three lines down as lines get really wide from end to end. So the Rashbam explains Kedushin deBei Levi. But Tosefta beBraisa de Maseches Kedushin Shesider Levi. Levi composed also Braisas as well. Meaning we know that Rabbi composed a series of Tanaitic statements. That's what we refer to as Mishnah. Rav Oshia composed Tanaitic statements. That's what's called Tosefta's. And Levi also composed them as well. We don't have, meaning nowadays, we don't have an organized version of this, meaning we don't have it in the way that he composed it, but that's what he called it. Shesidra Rabbi Chia v'Rabbi Yoshia. Okay, Rabbi Chia put together a composition. It's called Braisos. Rabbi Yoshia composed. Okay, we went over that. Okay, anyway. So back to the Gemara. Tani Rav Oshia b'Kedushin deBei Levi. Nal gedro parts kol shu b'fanav harizah chazaka. So, if I do a proprietary act, which is either lock the door, and again, we're going to be specific about all these examples momentarily. Lock the door, make a fence, open the fence, any amount. So, and I do a b'fanav. In other words, I'm doing it with him right there. Him meaning the original owner. Meaning, he would like to transfer ownership over to me. So, by an animal, you hand the reins over. So, what do you do by land? So you do a proprietary act. Lock the door, open the, make a fence, or open the fence. If you do any one of these proprietary acts, so that's going to be a chazaka. Now, the word befundov is what the Gemara is getting caught on right now. In other words, he has to be here, and I have to be here, and I have to do it directly in front of him. So the Gemara says, befundov in... Befanav inch lo, befanav lo. So the Gemara's question is, in order for an acquisition to work, he physically has to be here. Is that true? Does he physically have to be here? Meaning we can make other forms of kinyanim, and we don't have to be face-to-face with one another. If I have a shtar, so yes, of course, obviously he has to agree to the writing of the shtar, and the witnesses have to be there, but does he physically need to be here? Not necessarily. In other words, he could just simply write up the shtar and he could, you know, agree to terms, and he doesn't have to physically be here. For chazaka, as a proprietary act, does he have to be here? So I'm a Rava Hachikamar. So the Rava says, yeah, don't get caught up on that word. Meaning there's going to be differences whether he's here, whether he's not here. But obviously, kinyan chazaka could be made whether he's physically present or physically not present. The difference will be as follows. I'm a Rava Hachikamar. Bifan of Lotzarech Lememar Lechazi Kani. If he's right here, and we agree to terms, and I'm going to buy the property. And I say, good, good, now I'm going to do a chazaka. Now I'm going to do a proprietary act. He does not have to say the words, lechazi kani, by virtue of the fact that he's here, and he's not objecting to me doing a proprietary act, therefore I'm acquiring the property. That's fine. Shelo b'fanav, however, if let's say we agree to terms, I'm going to buy the property, and he's in one town, and I'm in another town. Or, as the Rashi points out, he can even be in the same town. He's just not physically present at the time of the acquisition. So for me to do a proprietary act, he must give instruction. The instruction comes in the words of Lech Chazek Ukeni. Now, if it's Shalal Befanov, so that's what he has to say in order for the acquisition to work. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So basically, what the Gemara now is explaining in the Braisa is, don't get stuck on the word Befanov. Befanov just simply means that when he's here, when I'm here, and I'm doing the Chazaka, the Maisa Chazaka, so then I could just do it, and I don't need any kind of verbal authorization, acquiescence, meaning it's understood. He's here, I'm here, and I'm doing the kinyan chazaka. Obviously, we had to agree to some sort of terms of the deal. But if he's not here, so then I don't have to say it. And if you take a look at the top Rashbam of the Amud, the Rashbam gives an example over here. So, if let's say he was in another town, or he was right here, and Shlomi Dato, the Rashbam writes, I don't think it means that, like, without his consent, because without his consent, obviously, whatever I do is not going to help. Meaning Shlomi Dato means he doesn't know when I'm doing it exactly. I think, at least I think that's what the Rashbam means. So, Havi Chazaka, that's going to be Chazaka. Ela im kein, amar le moche lokech le chazikani. V'afili im nasan lo mos, lo kani be mos. And, let's say I handed him money. If he's not physically present at the time of my proprietary act, the handing of over of the money is also insufficient. Why? Because, as we learned back in Kedushin, the Rashbam here reminds us, is that if Minaga Makam is to write up a document ratifying the sale of a property, even with an exchange of money. Now, we know that that property can be acquired through money. But if the standard practice is to write up a document, so then we understand that the sale is not complete, it's not going to be finalized until the writing up of a document. The Rashbam continues to write, Shekos Nishtar, Deina Kesem Ol, Achi Achzik Lo, O Achi Yichtov Ashtar, Kedamim Perakamad to Kedushin. This point was articulated all the way back in Kedushin. Allah Dahach Mishnah, Nechasim Sheish Lam Acharayas, Niknim Bechazim Vechule, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Bamakm, Shein Kosin Esashtar. Rav qualified the Mishnah back in Kedushin saying that when is it true that kesef by itself can acquire? That's only if there's no documentation that's normally written. But if it's the standard practice where everyone writes up a document ratifying the sale of the land, so the kinyan is not going to work until the shtar is written up. In other words, if the makne, if the seller wants to say, look, I know our standard practice is to write up a document. I know that. But you know what? Between you and me, the kesef by itself works. So obviously you could make such a stipulation. But standard practice is that money does not ratify, does not seal the deal. And therefore, if the standard practice is to write up a contract or to do a proprietary act, you are not going to acquire the property until you follow standard practice. That's the Rashbam's explanation over here. Okay. Bye, Rav. All right, so what have we learned so far together this morning? The idea that chazaka in the form of a proprietary act. And so far, really, the one point that we made so far today is that if I'm doing a proprietary act in order to acquire land, and it's befanav, and he's right there, the seller's right here, and he understands that what I'm about to do is a proprietary act, so he doesn't have to give verbal instruction of lechazeku kani. If he's not here, and I want to acquire through proprietary acts, he has to give verbal instruction. Fine. By Rav. Rav asked the following question. Matana heich. Now, what if it's a gift? Okay? So now, it's not a seller-buyer. It's a gift or giftee. And I want to now acquire, what is going to be my formal means of acquisition? It's going to be through a chazaka, through a proprietary act. That part's easy. What the Gemara is asking right now, what Rav is asking right now, is that under such circumstances, does he also have to give the magic instructions of lechazei ukani? Or no? So Rav asked the question. So by Rav Matanehech, I'm a Shmuel. Mighty by Lei La'aba. So Shmuel says, I don't even understand Rav's question. Remember this just recently in the Gemara. We know that Rav's name, actual name was Abba. Shmuel, whenever Shmuel actually refers about Rav, he calls him Abba. That's his actual name. So Shmuel says, Mighty by Leila Abba. I don't even understand what Rav is asking. Look, let's compare a gift to a sale. When it comes to a sale, so what does the seller receive? He receives money. And Iamar Lelechazikani in Ilolo. And even though he's receiving money, so he's clearly getting something in exchange for the land, and yet, if he's not there, the only way that the Maisa Chazaka is going to work is only if the seller ratifies it with the verbal declaration of Lechazikani. And that's true by a seller. So if that's true by a seller, so matana l'kol shekein, a gift. What is the gifter getting when he gifts? And the answer by definition, of course, is nothing. So if a seller's getting something and he still has to make verbal authorization, a gifter who's not getting anything, so of course he needs to make verbal authorization. That right now is the Gemara's point vis-a-vis why Shmuel doesn't even understand Rav's question. V'Rav Savar. Now the Gemara says, now as far as Rav is concerned, what's his counter argument? The Gemara says it's very simple. Mandi av matana bein yafa yahiv. No, even though you're right, the gifter doesn't give anything, but he's a gifter. That means that definitionally he's different than that of a seller. A seller who's looking to get something in exchange, so therefore this is business. This is, I'm not selling it to you until I get something in exchange for it. Now that this is business, so now you need a formal declaration of lech hazikni. But when you have a gifter, by definition, he's a generous person. He's a giver. I mean, literally. He's a giver. So maybe for him, you don't need that kind of formal, official authorization of lech hazikni. So from Shmuel's not being able to understand Rav, we've now gone to the point of the Gemara where the Gemara says, I totally understand Rav. The question really stands. I don't know the difference. I could easily see the difference between a seller who needs to authorize the sale versus a gifter who doesn't need a formal declarative authorization. Take a look at the Rashbam over here, Varav. Rashbam is now four lines down as the lines start getting wider. He writes, the Kabayle Savar Ikalameh Ramandi Avatanabayan Yafayav Shemach Maschiba Nasanlo. Right? It's because the gifter has so much love for the person that he's gifting it to, so therefore he's giving it to him. Ve'okach Nichale Shalai Sheyelech V'yachzik. It's right. It's even though he doesn't say lech chazek ukni, it's keilu. It's as if he already said it because obviously he's giving it out of love. He's not giving it as a business negotiation. Now, as far as Shmuel is concerned, meaning the Gemara just made a fantastic point for Rav. The Gemara just outlined there's a basic difference between a giver and a seller. A giver does so out of love, and therefore ba'ayin yafeh, and therefore perhaps you don't need to say the words lechazekani, as opposed to a seller where this is business. There's no love over here. This is a simple business negotiation. Very good. And now, what the Rashbam is bothered by, because the Gemara stops over here, the Gemara doesn't discuss this point any further, is let's pick it up now from Shmuel's standpoint. Shmuel knows that there's a difference between a gifter and a seller. And why didn't this point like dawn on Shmuel? So the Rashbam goes on to discuss that. And the Rashbam writes, Ushmuel nami dipshitale. Now, as far as Shmuel was concerned, he didn't see any difference between the gifter and the seller. So svirle hechamina ban yafa no sein. So Shmuel says, look, I generally agree with this idea of ayin yafa. Yes, if someone's gifting something, so generally speaking, he's more generous. But hani mila kagon la'acha sheikh zikvenis kaima matanahu damrin abayin yafa no sein. Lo, mikol vakol, shloshir la'atzma mamatana zu. So Rashbam explains beautifully. Look, from Shmuel's standpoint, ayin yafa means as follows. I'm gifting you something. Okay, once we know it's a gift, now it's a question of what was included in the gift. Now I'll use the principle of ayin yafa. Ayin yafa will tell me that what's included in the gift is basically everything that could have been included. Because by virtue of the fact that it's a gift, obviously he's giving it out of generosity, and clearly everything is being included in that gift. That's different than what our case is over here. Why? Avahacha, and I'm sorry. Wait, before I get to that. The Amr La'el, the Rashbam reminds us of what we learned earlier. Right, we did this just a day ago in the Daf. When a husband gifts his property over to his wife, he excludes himself from Peros. Why would he do that? And the answer is very simple. Because it's a gift. And a gift, by definition, is ayin yafa. But that's once we know it's a gift. But over here, we don't even know if the kinyan got off the ground. Meaning here we're unsure. He's talking about gifting something to somebody. He's not here presently at the moment. He didn't authorize with the words lechazeku kani. So yes, gifting does indicate that it's ba'ayin yafeh, that he's generous. But over here, we don't even know if it started. We don't even know if the gift originated. So under those circumstances, Shmuel will tell you, I'm not going to say ayin yafeh if we're trying to figure out if the kinyan started altogether. Once we know the kinyan has occurred, and then it's just a question of what's included in the kinyan, then we're going to use the principle of ayin yafeh. Okay. So we went through a machlokas Rav and Shmuel as vis-a-vis in a gift. Does the gifter need to authorize the recipient lechazei kani if he's not presently there? Rav asked the question. Shmuel doesn't see the difference between the two cases. Rav does see the difference between the two cases, and then the Rashbam explains how the Shmuel would counteract that point of Rav. We're back into the Gemara, the Kama Kolshehu. We are now 6 lines from the top of the Amud on and Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are now discussing a Kolshehu. What is the smallest amount that needs to be done to a field in order to establish a proprietary Akte Chazaka? So Kedishmol Damar Shmol Gadar Gadar Vishlam Allah Sarah. So when it comes to building a fence, so the fence was not up to 10 Tfachim, and you made the tents up to 10. Sorry. You made the fence up to 10 tefachim. Or in terms of making a hole in the fence, I don't mean a hole, I mean an opening. So the Shmuel says, an opening wide enough so that a person can walk through. Okay. So right now we're discussing fencing, and we're discussing openings in the fence. If you fence, meaning you make a fence, so that is a kinyan chazaka. That's a proprietary act, establishing you now to be the owner of the field. If it is an opening, so as long as it's wide enough where a person can go through, so that is a proprietary act as well. Okay. What is interesting, which I'm going to come back to in just a moment from now, is that there is a third mechanism, which was described earlier, which is na'al. Locking the door. The Gemara does not discuss that. It's interesting why the Gemara doesn't discuss that. The Gemara does not tell us why the Gemara doesn't discuss that. I guess it's kind of, that would be weird. But the Gemara does not discuss that. And we are later in time going to discuss that. I'm going to quote the Rashbam in just a couple minutes from now. In the meantime, right now, we're discussing fencing and we're discussing making an opening in the fence. Here's the Gemara's problem. So we said, quoting in the name of Shmuel, that building a fence upwards of 10 tefachim now establishes you to be owner because that's a significant fence. So the Gemara says, but again, let's just understand this a little bit better. Listen, if nobody can climb over the fence, meaning, you know, with just a basic amount of effort. Obviously, every fence you can climb over. But generally speaking, if the fence creates a barrier between the outside and the inside, and you really didn't qualitatively change anything, so then you didn't do anything. And therefore, that's not a proprietary act. Tuva, Avad. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that prior to you making any kind of fence, there was something over there, but easily jumpable. And what you did is you basically created an impasse by building up on the fence. Gemara says, obviously that's good. Obviously that's a proprietary act. Here's the problem. When the Gemara described it just a moment ago, the Brisa describes it using the words kolshehu. Shmuel is defining a kolshehu, meaning you're just making just enough of a change so that you've made a difference. Prior to that, it was whatever. We'll describe what it was beforehand. And now you made it impassable. But what bothers the Gemara right now is that if prior to that it was easily jumpable, and now you've made it unjumpable, impassable, so the Gemara says that doesn't really fit with the language of Kol Shehu. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Lo tzricha demikara havisakalei beravcha, v'ashtekasakalei beduchka. So the Gemara says, okay, we really are talking about a qualitative difference. It's small. Meaning, prior to you fixing the fence, people can easily jump over it. It was just a hop over the fence. Now, by you adding a little bit more, so now, yes, a person can pass over, but it would be more difficult. That's the Kol Shehu point, and that's the point where you've done enough now that you've become the owner. We're basically going to do now the same thing regarding making an opening in the fence. It's going to be the same kind of question and answer. If prior to you adjusting the opening, people could walk through and then you just made it a little bit wider. But again, you haven't done anything. My oven. If the opening was prior to your adjustment impassable and then you made the opening wider, so now it's passable. Tuva oven. Now you've done a lot. And again, the problem with that, it's not a problem, but the problem with that is the language of Kol Shehu. Kol Shehu gives the indication that you did just enough. So what's just enough? So it was, the opening was just wide enough that you could squeeze through, and then what you did is you widened the opening so nobody has to squeeze now. You can easily pass through. That's just enough. That's the Kol Shehu that Shmuel was describing. Okay. So we have now given operational definitions of what is considered making a fence, and we've given operational definition of what is making an opening in the fence, which is a chazaka, a proprietary act, in which you're going to now acquire the field through such a proprietary act. A chazaka she'eni motaina, meaning not the cheskes gemoshanim, but just simply where he is looking to hand it over to you, looking to sell to you, to gift it to you, you now are going to do a proprietary act. And we have given now very real definitions of building a fence or making an opening in the fence. As I pointed out a moment ago, the Gemara does not discuss na'al, does not discuss locking. Now we know it's important. No, we know it should have been discussed, because remember how we start off the entire sugi. Go back to the previous amud, the bottom of the previous amud, where we started this morning. Tani Rav Hoshe b'kedushin de Beilevi, na'al gadar paretz kol shehu. You either locked, you made a fence, or you opened any amount. So it's a little bit strange, admittedly, that the Gemara does not discuss na'al, locking. Okay, the Gemara doesn't discuss it. We're going to discuss it right now. We are looking at the Rashbam. We are now four wide lines down, wide meaning from end to end of the page. The Rashbam writes, Deporta ahani v'lo b'ayla trutz demikara lo ayli klav v'hashta ayla b'dochik detuva ava deshavi petach. Okay, that was the Rashbam commenting on the opening, not right, basically just summarizing the Gemara's point. Now we go to discuss Ni'ila. We're talking in Ni'ila. That's the closing of the gates on Yom Kippur. So it's the same verb. So now we're discussing Ni'ila, but in the context of making a lock. Rashbam starts the discussion as follows. Vegabe na'al, fifth wide line down. Vegabe na'al koshu nami ika lefrushi ki agavna. Now, as far as locking is concerned, so we can explain the Gemara in a similar manner. And that is, number one, shesasam pesach stima koshu dimikari aile la baracha v'hashta aile le beduchka. So, basically, what you're doing is, you're narrowing the doorway. The doorway was passable, and you've made it now impassable. You didn't totally seal it up, because if you did, that's geder. So over here, ni'ila can just simply come in the form of, I made an area where it was easily able to pass through, impassable by making it a narrower opening. That could be one definition of na'al. Inami, or Rashbam says, I'll give you another example of what we mean. Shikava min ol bedelasin obo. Or let's say you've made a lock on the door, meaning there was a door, and you've built a lock into the door. Dehainu binyan, that's building. And therefore, since that's building, that's considered a proprietary act. That's a chazaka. Avasagar sadal v'nafta b'maftech b'nechzei agerinu chazaka. But the Rashbam says, but don't make this mistake. Closing and locking a door is not na'al. Meaning, yes, it's true, that's obviously the definition of ni'ila, of closing and locking the door. But vis-a-vis the definition of a chazaka, as far as a proprietary act acquiring a property, closing and locking the door is insufficient. You have to build something. Either make the opening narrower, or putting a lock in the door. But just closing and locking the door, says Rashbam, is not enough. And he goes on to explain. How do I know that? Ainu chazaka deinze el ose mitzvah lishmor bais chavero umavrich ari benichse chavero hu kedilakam and bishmaiten. We are going to see together later this morning in the daf. If you're just protecting somebody's property from an outside danger, that's not a proprietary act. You know what that's called? That's called being a good human being. That's called what you need to do as a human being on this earth. You need to help other people. If something is going to pose a danger to someone else's property, and you could do something to stop it, you should do so. We also have another term for that. That's called hashavas aveda, right? That's returning a lost object. So that's not a proprietary act. That's called being a good person. That's not going to help you acquire something. Now, the Rashbam says, I will take you back to the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, where we talked about the mitzvah b'dikas chametz, right? Shloshim yom kom l'chag. It's the right time to talk about it. We talked about the mitzvah b'dikas chametz, and we talked about the renting of a property. And the Gemara there says, Mishama salam aftechos have becheska socher. And when does the rental agreement begin? With the handing over of the keys. That's what the Gemara Pesachim says. So, yes, that's true, says the Rashbam, but there is a buyer and there's a seller. In that case, there's a renter and there's a rentee. So there, handing over the keys is going to be enough. But over here, we're talking about creating a proprietary act, and there's no makna. Nobody is giving it over to you. You are doing the acquisition. You are making the acquisition. So, who's handing over the keys to you? Therefore, it has to be binyan. And that's the Rashbam's explanation over here, that na'al, in the context of you making an acquisition and nobody's handing it over to you, so it has to be binyan. So, therefore, the Rashbam goes back to his first two pshatim. Either the opening was wide and you actually built it to be narrower to prevent traffic going through, or you actually built a fence into the doorway. Sorry, you built a lock into the doorway. Okay, Adkan. That's the Rashbam's discussion of Ni'ila. We are now back in the Gemara. We are 2/3 of the way down on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We're continuing with the words Amar Rabbi Asi. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Natan Tzur V'Hol, Natal Tzur V'Hol, Harei Zeh Chazaka. Okay, so now we're going to be talking about other means of creating proprietary acts. Meaning, even though we learned together this morning the Tosefta, the Kedushas, Kedushin the Beilevi, that there were three, it's not the only three. These are examples of proprietary acts. As long as you do something which is a physical manipulation of the property, which improves the property, that is a chazaka, that's going to be a proprietary act. So now we're just simply going to go over other examples. So Rav Yochanan here quotes two examples, either putting a stone down or taking a stone away. But we need more context. Without more context, that's not enough information. The Gemara now gives us more information. My Nasan, my Nata, what are examples of both of these? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Elam Nasan, Sura Visavar, Maya. I'm sorry. Visachar, Maya, Mina. Natal, Sura Vapik, Maya, Mina. So the Gemara says, well, perhaps we're describing the following. Either you are putting a stone down in order to block water from going into someone else's property, or you're taking a stone away so that water, so you could drain a person's property. This is what the Rashbam was alluding to just a moment earlier, and the Gemara here says, all you're doing is protecting someone else's property. That doesn't create a kinyan. By protecting somebody's property, you're doing a good thing, you're doing a good act. It's called a mitzvah. It's mavriach ari, the expression literally means chasing a lion away from someone else's property. I'm reading the Rashbam again. Rashbam is six lines down from the bottom. Hi mavriach ari hu, halamazed domen lemeshev aveda, decho yisrael, mitzuvan lahatzo mamon chavreihem. You have an obligation to protect other people from losing their money. Min ha-hezek, vein chari chazaka. That's not called a chazaka, writes the Rashbam. Ela dumi degadar parasha osa bo binyan o kol tikkun atzarech lo lesada. When you make a positive contribution to the betterment, to the improvement of a field, that's a chazaka. Kegon, mashke mayim, o zomer, o zorea, o choresh. You irrigate the field. You prune the trees on that field. You plant in that field. You plow in that field. It has to be a physical improvement to the land itself. Preventing damage from outside, that's not a physical improvement. That's just simply protecting other people's money. That's a mitzvah. That's not a chazaka. So, back to the Gemara. So now that the Gemara rejected these examples of Rav Yochanan, so what does Rav Yochanan mean? Ela Nasan Sura, Ditsama Lamayim, Ditsama Lemaya. So, the example of Nasan Sura, you put a stone down, meaning there was water running through the field. What you do is you put a stone at the end of the canal, at the end of the field. So basically now, the water is going to irrigate the field. That's a proprietary act. That's going to create a kinyan. Or natotzro tzor v'arvach lamaya. Or what you did is you remove the stone away so that the water would go into the field in order to irrigate the field. That's a physical improvement on the land, and that's going to create a chazaka. Okay, Ravasi quotes another statement in the name of Rav Yochanan. You have two fields that are contiguous to one another, but separated by a meitzar. There's a thin path. separating these two fields. And hichlik b'achas mehem l'knosa kana. So let's say you do a proprietary act to acquire one of those fields, so you have now successfully acquired one of those fields. Liknos osav es chaverta. We now turn to the top of Mengimel Mendez. You're looking to acquire both it and its friend. Osakana v'chaverta lokana. So you have successfully acquired the one property, but you haven't acquired both properties. Meaning, to acquire both properties, you must do a maisa chazaka to both of those properties. You can't just simply do one in order to acquire both. Liknos es chaverta af osa lokana. Let's say you do the following. You do a proprietary act on this property in order to acquire the other property. So it goes without saying that you haven't acquired the other property because you've done nothing to the other property, but you also don't acquire this property as well because you were only interested in making a kinyan on the other property. Well, you didn't do anything to the other property. So therefore, you didn't acquire the other property and you didn't acquire this property as well because that was not your intent to do so. Okay? Another time today, I turn to the Rashbam for more assistance over here. We have just learned together in our Gemara that if I'm trying to acquire multiple properties, it will be insufficient for me to do a kinyan on one of them to acquire both. You must do a kinyan chazaka on each of the properties. Again, we go back to the Gemara that we learned in Kiddushin, and that's not what we learned back in Kiddushin. And the Rashbam reminds us. Take a look now. Rashbam, we're going to start four lines from the top. Right, it's the second Rashbam of the Amud. We're going to start Vidafka. It's the fourth line of the Rashbam. Vidafka nichzei hager. This, what we just learned together, that in order for me to acquire multiple properties, I have to do a chazaka on each of the properties. That's specifically talking about where I'm acquiring it from nobody. It's nichzei hager. It doesn't belong to anybody. However, not yet. Dimimei lakani. Hilkach ein ba koach lek nos ella osa sadashik zikba. So therefore, I am limited to only the property that I'm actually physically working on. Ava b'mecher, but if it's a sale, modi Rav Yochan shim zikbachas mehem kana kulan. So if it's a sale where there is a seller, so then we are all in agreement that we can create an acquisition on multiple properties, even though I'm doing a kinyan on only one of the properties. And here we go back to the Gemara Kiddushin again this morning. Kedamina beperek rishon de babakama. I'm sorry, I said Kiddushin, didn't I? Yes, I did. Okay, the first parak of Baba Kama. Well, Kama ba'amocher sabayis. Amar shmo machar lo yitzados ba'asem medinos. If I may try to make an acquisition of 10 properties in 10 different locations, hirzik ba'achas mehem, and I do a proprietary act on one of them, kana kulan. So I've acquired all of them. V'tanya ba'ejikav esed shmo parak kama to kedushin. Okay, here it is. I knew it was there. Okay, the... And we learned the same thing together in Kiddushin as well. Now, as far as why is it that if I want to acquire multiple properties and geographically they're in different locations, an act of a chazaka on one can acquire all? So the Rashbam is quoting the language of the Gemara over there in Kiddushin. Sadna da'ara chadhu. And what does that mean? That basically they're all connected to one earth. Everything is physically interconnected. All the properties are physically interconnected. In other words, and you paid them for all the properties. The kulu ishtabud leila lokeach bishvil ma'osav ani cheskas achas mem leknas kulan. And because geographically they're all connected to one singular earth, and it's one landmass, and you're paying for it all. So there's a makne, and there's someone selling it to you. So therefore, a proprietary act on one can create an acquisition on all. But the Rashbam points out, but that's not what we're talking about over here. Over here, the notable difference is there's no makne. Nobody's acquiring it over to you. You're acquiring it from Hefker. It's nichse hager. Aval lo nasan lo demei kulan lo kana el keneged ma'osav ilka chab nichse hager nami. The lake and matan ma'os, you're not giving money lo kani elahisa didachzik ba. Therefore, you're only going to be kona the field that you acquired. Very good. So our Gemara, we could really ask it just simply as Q&A. Our Gemara says doing a ma'aseh cheskas. A cheskas karka on one property only acquires that one property, not all the properties. Meanwhile, the Gemara Baba Kama and the Gemara Kiddushin says that doing a kinyan on one property acquires all the properties. That's That's the question. The answer is, there's a difference. There, in Baba Kama, in Kedushin, you have a Maknan, you have a Kona, you have a seller, you have a buyer. So therefore, and you're paying for it all, so therefore, a Chazak on one will acquire all of them. Over here, you're only doing a Kinyan on one of them because over here, there's no Maknan, there's no seller. You're just taking away from Hefka. By Rebbe Zera, back to the Gemara. So again, we're talking now about two lands separated by a mezzah, separated by a border, some sort of thin strip separating the properties. So now, as long as it's nichseh ager and there's no seller, so you only are going to acquire the one that you're doing the maaseh chazaka on. Rebbe Zera asked the following question: Hichzik ba'achas me'am liknos osav ve'esam mezzah. Let's say you're doing a Maisa Kinyan, a Chazkas Kinyan, on one of them in order to acquire it, the Meitzan, and the adjacent property. Does that Meitzar create a gap separation between the two properties so that the only thing you acquire is just simply the property you worked on? Or no? Is it considered one landmass? Take it. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. By Rav Elazar. Continuing now.
Unresolved when he has multiple properties in different locations and it acquires them.
Right, but again, I go back, I hear you, but we go back to the Rashi's point. Here you're acquiring it from nobody. Here it was Nichse Hagir, which means now that it has no owner, and therefore, because I'm acquiring it from nobody, so therefore this may be just limited to the singular property that I'm working with. By Rebbe Elazar, the Gemara asks another question. Let's say I do a proprietary act on the actual border itself, that thin strip separating the two lands. So, Mi Armin and Hai Meitzah Afsar Da'arahu, is that one strip of land considered the reins of the two side properties that it is abutting? Vikani, and therefore you have acquired. Odima, Halachudakai, Vahalachudakai. Or maybe once again, no, it's considered separate pieces of land, Teku. And again, this question is also left unresolved. Some sort of thin strip between them. Yeah. Right now, it doesn't have an owner. It's ownerless. It's an ownerless thin strip of land. Separate. That's the Gemara's question. That's exactly what the Gemara is asking. And the Gemara says, I don't know. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Abaravur. Shnei batim zulif name is zu. We have two houses that are, one is interior to the other. Gemara gives this construct time and again, where basically one house is landlocked. So the only way that's the inner house, the panimi. Mm-hmm. And the only way to get in and out of his house is only to go through the chitzona. So the truth of the matter is that the owner of the panimi has a certain, I'm going to use the word bailos, but don't take me super literally. He has a certain ownership to the outside house. He doesn't really own the outside house, but it's understood just basically based on the construct of these of the houses that in order for him, when he bought the inner house, it's understood that he has to walk through the outer house to get in and out. That's just simply the way it's constructed. So, Hirzig Bechitzon Liknos Kano. Now, we're going to be doing the same thing as well. Over here, we're going to be discussing numerous cases where you're making a kinyan. Again, there's no makne. There's no seller. You're acquiring it from Nichse Hagir. It was ownerless. So, again, we're going to be talking the same thing, doing a proprietary act. So, if you're doing it on the outside house, Liknos Kano. Liknos Osovetsa Panimi. Let's say I'm doing a proprietary act so that I can acquire the outside and the inside. Chitzon Kana, Panimi Lokana. Well, you've acquired the outside, but you haven't acquired the inside. From the perspective of the outside, the inside house is totally independent. Liknos is a Panimi. Let's say I do a Maisa Kinyan on the outer house so that I can only acquire the inner house. So you got nothing because you didn't do a Maisa Kinyan on the inner house, and the inner house and the outer house have nothing to do with one another, so therefore you haven't even acquired the outer house as well. However, now you do a proprietary act on the inner house. So liknos osav esachitz. I'm sorry. So good. So then you've acquired the inner house. Liknos osav esachitzon kana shneim. Here comes the chiddush. Where if I'm, and it's not that big a chiddush. If I'm doing a proprietary act on the inner house, in order to acquire both the inner and the outer, I've acquired both. Now why? Because again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Because the inner house has a certain shibud on the outer house. He for sure has access. It gives him certain already rights to the outer house. So if you're doing a kinyan on the inner house in order to acquire both the inner and the outer, you got both. Liknos is a chitzan afini milokana. And finally, if I do a maisa kinyan on the inner house and I only want to acquire the outer house, you got nothing. Okay. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm Rav Abarabu, Bona Palshin Gedolim Benichse Hager. You build this enormous palace on the property that belonged to a convert, meaning he died and it's ownerless, and now you built this big palace, but you didn't finish the job. Okay, I've heard a number of stories with regarding construction. They do most of the work, but then, okay, over here we're not talking about a contractor, we're talking about you. In other words, you built the house, but you didn't finish. And then somebody comes along and somebody puts the doors on the house, a finishing touch, but I don't want... I take back the words finishing touch. It's, you know, that's too dramatic. In other words, it's not just a finishing touch. It's mamish, he built the doors there. So my time, Akana, I'm sorry. So Kana. So the person who put the doors on, he's the one who's going to acquire that house. Now, to which the Gemara says, my time, Akama, livni ba'ama hud apich. Because as far as the first person is there, you know what he did? Livni ba'ama hud apich. He just took bricks and he arranged bricks one on top of another. But in other words, by virtue of the fact that he didn't finish the building, so therefore he didn't make a kinyan. The first person, can we not ask? And when I say can we not ask, I mean Tosfos asked this very question. The first person, in order to build the foundation, what did he have to do to the ground? He had to level the ground. That's already a kinyan chazakah, is it not? And so therefore the first person, she should have acquired it through just simply setting the ground for the foundation for this building. Tosos writes, second Tosos on the Amud. He writes, Livni ba'amu da'apich v'afagav de'rafak ba'porta kishe bani yisod. When you built the foundation, so you obviously did something to the ground. Lama'ani midi ala b'karka omen l'charisha. Yes, says Tosfos, but that's talking about where I'm looking to plow the ground. If I'm looking to plow the ground, so then an act of digging up earth on the ground is a proprietary act. Okay, and Tosfos asks more questions, but anyway, so over here, since I am manipulating the ground to build a building on it, my kinyan will only come about when the building is actually finished. Let's just do.
Does the second one have to pay for the bricks?
I assume so. I was thinking about your very question. I assume the second one would have to pay for all the materials of the first one. He can't just simply right. I assume that's correct. But it's an assumption. I'm Rav Dimi Bar Yosef. I'm Rav Elazar. I'm Motzei Palchim Menichse Eger. V'sad behem siud echad o kiyur echad kana. So let's say that it is the palace is already built, and it belonged to a convert, and he died, and so therefore, what can you do now in order to create a kinyan chazaka? So plastering or a mural is going to be enough in order to acquire it. V'kama Amar Rav Yosef Amma. So Rav Yosef says it has to be a square Amma. Amar Rav Chisto Keneged HaPesach, and it has to be opposite the doorway. Get ready for this, because this language is coming up soon enough in the Daf. We're going to be discussing how when you build a house, you have to leave over an Amma Keneged HaPesach unfinished in the Zecher LeMikdash. Zecher LeChorban. Okay, the same exact language is going to be used later in Baba Basra, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, as the Gemara says, that's what you would have to do in order to create a proprietary act, in order to acquire the palace, you would have to plaster an amma as worth of wall upon the entrance in order to create that proprietary act. Okay, stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Okay, we started the new section of the third parak of Chazka Sabatim, a chazaka in terms of proprietary act, and really the summary of today's daf, operational definitions of what is considered a proprietary act in order to acquire it, and also just an important point that we made this morning, a major distinction between buying it from another person and doing a proprietary act versus getting it from Nichse Hager. And we pointed out that there may be very fundamental differences between that. We learned about from this morning.